This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast. I'm Keith Caulfield, Billboard's Senior Director of Charts.
And I'm Katie Atkinson, Billboard's Deputy Editor Digital.
Hello, Katie. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you, Keith?
I'm warm.
Oh, it is warm.
It's a little warm.
It's warm. I shouldn't complain, though, because it's been a cool summer in Los Angeles, but the warmth has arrived upon us.
Are you cool here? Are you cool for the summer?
Yes. It's not a cruel summer. It's a cool summer.
Correct. Well, as always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. Today on the show, we've got chart news on how Billie Eilish's Happier Than Ever is only the second album released in 2021 to spend its first 2 weeks at number one on the Billboard 200 chart. How Nas notches his highest charting album since 2012, and how George Harrison, thanks to a reissue of his classic number one album All Things Must Pass, is back in the top 10 for the first time since 1988. Plus, The Weeknd's Take My Breath debuts in the top 10 on the Billboard Hot 100 Songs chart, while The Kid LAROI and Justin Bieber's Stay sits tight at number one for a second week.
Also on the show, we've got news about Lizzo's new song Rumors with Cardi B, Barbara Streisand sharing her unfiltered thoughts about Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper's A Star Is Born remake, and Madonna's new partnership with her longtime label home, Warner Music Group. What does it all mean? Obviously, our friend Keith, Madonna superfan, will have all of those answers.
I won't, but we can still talk about it.
But we can discuss. But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast provider so you won't miss an episode. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit billboard.com/podcasts. Yes, that was my daughter.
Is she okay?
I feel like you should leave that in.
Okay. But she's okay.
Oh, she's fine. She doesn't like when I'm not in the house.
She doesn't like Mama recording a podcast.
Oh, my Lord.
Okay, well, let's do the chart chat. First up, Billie Eilish's Happier Than Ever holds atop the Billboard 200 albums chart for a second week on top, as the album earned 85,000 equivalent album units in the U.S. in the week ending August 12th, and that's down 64%, according to MRC data. The album debuted at number one a week ago, with 238,000 units earned in its first week, and that was the fifth largest week of 2021 for any album. Notably, Happier Than Ever is the second album released in 2021 to spend its first 2 weeks at number one, following Morgan Wallen's Dangerous The Double album, which spent 10 weeks at number one, all consecutive, from its debut on the January 23rd dated chart.
I feel like some people would think that Olivia Rodrigo's Sour would be on that list, but she never had her weeks consecutive at all, did she?
She had two that were consecutive. They just weren't her first two.
Her first two. Right. Yeah. All right.
Also in the top 10 on the Billboard 200, Nas scores his 15th top 10 and highest charting effort since 2012 as King's Disease 2, which was announced only a week before its release on August 6th, debuts at number 3. The set earned 56,000 equivalent album units in its first week and also arrives at number one on both the top R&B hip-hop albums chart and the rap albums chart. King's Disease 2, a sequel to last year's top 10 hit King's Disease, is Nas's highest charting album since 2012's Life is Good debuted at number one on the August 4th, 2012 dated list.
I know a lot of the interest around that one was because of the Lauryn Hill feature on it, because they obviously famously previously recorded a big song together, so people were excited about that.
All right, Next, George Harrison's former number one album, All Things Must Pass, returns to the top 10 for the first time since 1971, as the set re-enters at number 7, following its 50th anniversary reissue on August 6th. The album was newly mixed and reissued in a variety of formats for its release, and all versions of the album, including the original 1970 release, are combined for tracking and charting purposes. The album, which was Harrison's third solo studio effort and his first number one, topped the Billboard 200 for 7 consecutive weeks in 1971, from the January 2nd through February 13th, 1971 dated charts. It launched a pair of top 10 hits on the Billboard Hot 100 Songs chart. His first number one, the double-sided hit My Sweet Lord / Isn't It a Pity, and the number 10 hit What Is Life. Of course, The Beatles, of which Harrison was a member.
What?
Who? landed many number ones on both charts before Harrison embarked on his solo career.
No stranger to the charts.
You may have heard of them, The Beatles. with All Things Must Pass returning to the top 10, it marks Harrison's first time in the region since 1988, when Cloud 9 peaked at number 8, and it's also Harrison's highest rank on the Billboard 200 since Dark Horse galloped to number 4 on the January 25th, 1975 dated chart. Lastly, over on the Billboard Hot 100 Songs chart, The Kid LAROI and Justin Bieber's Stay sits tied at number 1 for a second week, while The Weeknd's new single, Take My Breath, starts at number 6, marking his 13th top 10 hit for the superstar and his second highest debut ever. He only started higher with Call Out My Name, which debuted and peaked at number 4 in 2018. Meanwhile, The Weeknd also celebrates a major milestone on the Hot 100 as his former number 1 hit Blinding Lights breaks the record for the most weeks on the chart as it spends its 88th week on the list. 88 weeks.
Yeah, just as many keys as there are on a piano.
When was your daughter born? More than 88 weeks ago?
Oh, yeah. I mean, she's 15 months old. So she was born in May 2020, and this song has been kicking since 2019. So, yeah.
All right, fine. well, so in breaking the record, Blinding Lights passes Imagine Dragons' Radioactive, which previously had the record, with 87 weeks on the list from 2012 to 2014. This week, Blinding Lights is number 18 on the Hot 100. It previously spent 4 weeks at number 1 in 2020. During its chart run, it has broken records left and right, including for the most time spent in the top 5, 43 weeks, in the top 10, 57 weeks, in the top 20, 79 weeks, and even in the top 40, 84 weeks.
Dang. He posted a reaction celebrating it on Instagram today.
I saw that, and I was going to try to quote him, but he didn't say anything super specific about
he
this.
He said,
really.
Big week for Blinding Lights, or big day, or maybe big day for Blinding Lights, something to that effect.
There was a number of photos in that Instagram post, and the very last one was like a comic where it looked like it was two illustrations of The Weeknd in a cartoon, and one of them was about to start singing Blinding Lights, and then the other one slapped
and he's wearing the red suit jacket of the After Hours era, and then the new one, it's like, no, the dawn's coming.
We gotta move on.
All right, well, in news, Lizzo and Cardi B released the most talked about new song last week with Rumors and a splashy new music video to match. So let's take a quick listen to the new song. All the rumors are true, yeah. I've been in the bamboo, yeah. Focused on this music. Well, this is the first new music from Lizzo in years following her major pop breakthrough with Truth Hurts and Good as Hell, and she came in with a bang. You know, Keith and I have not really talked about it too much, but I have to say the video is so much fun. Fans have been comparing it to the Disney movie Hercules, and Cardi's showing off her pregnant belly again. But I might have wanted something a little bit more musically. I think the promise of Cardi and Lizzo together might have overpromised to me as a music listener, where I was, I don't know, I was expecting like WAP part two or something, and I did not exactly get it. So I'm excited to hear what else Lizzo has. Keith, did you check out the video and listen to the song yet?
Yeah, I mean, it's super, super eye-catching. Mm-hmm. I think that might be a subtle way of putting it. and it's just great to have Lizzo back.
Yes.
And it's just great to hear her again. And she just wants to squash some rumors. What's wrong with that?
That's all.
That's all.
She drops Drake's name in the song, too. It's funny. It's very entertaining. I know a lot of people are loving it. Keith, do we have any indication yet where it could possibly land on the Hot 100 next week, maybe?
I mean, it's already off to a pretty decent start on radio. And I think there's been tons of interest in the video.
Yeah.
So that will certainly help it as well. I do not have a specific forecast for you, Katie.
Okay.
But I know, I mean, if you haven't, I mean, by the time this airs, it, you know, I don't know, they may be sold out. But, you know, certainly Lizzo is kind of trying everything she can to make sure that it does really well in its first week. On her web store, she's selling three different singles.
Oh, there we go with the cassettes again.
Yeah, cassettes and Billy. Some CD singles and even a flexi disc.
Oh,
you know what that is?
Okay. I don't. I mean, it makes me think of like a computer disc, but what is it?
No, it's I actually have one. I'll show you later. It's like a really thin vinyl record. That's
okay.
It's like you used to, like, way back in the day, you would find them inside magazines. Like, oh, it's a
yeah.
free flexi disc.
No, I 100%
like in a cereal
remember
box.
Those. 100% remember those, yes.
So I have one for Post Malone, for Circles, I think. And they Lizzo made one, and you can play it on your record player. It's
that's
actually,
kind of that's a fun comeback. What's the actual, like, material of it?
I'm unclear on that.
Okay.
I'm assuming it's some sort of super thin vinyl. I'm not
that's
really
well
sure.
I'm wondering if the production is simpler than, you know, a regular vinyl, because obviously that's been held
that
up.
I know it I I've read that it can take maybe about 5 weeks or so to make a flexi disc, and whereas vinyl right now you won't get anything made for like months and months.
Wow.
Or something. Yeah,
okay, the return of flexi discs.
I don't know about that. Let's not get too crazy.
So next up, Barbra Streisand has been out and about promoting her new album, Release Me Too. We didn't talk about that at the start of the show.
It debuts at number 15 on the Billboard 200 this week.
That's right. Congrats to Barbra. And on her promo tour, she gave a very candid interview to Australian outlet The Project, sharing her thoughts on the Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga remake of A Star Is Born and calling it the wrong idea, quote unquote. So, of course,
Barbra herself appeared in A Star Is Born, which itself was a remake the third time over.
Exactly. So, of course, the 2018 film was the fourth version, actually, following the original in 1937, then the Judy Garland version in 1954, then the Barbra Streisand and Kris Kristofferson remake in 1976. And Barbra explained that when the rumblings began about a new remake, that it was actually supposed to star Will Smith and Beyonce. And she loved that idea. I'm not sure if you remember those headlines. I think Clint Eastwood was attached to direct.
Yes.
And so Barbra really loved that idea. She liked that it was going to be a completely different direction. She was obviously envisioning Will Smith and Beyonce's real life music and thinking that it was going to maybe skew that direction. Maybe hip hop, maybe R&B, who knows. But instead, with the Gaga and Cooper version, Barbra says, quote, "I was surprised when I saw how alike it was to the version that I did in 1976. She acknowledged that the movie was a huge hit, of course. And quote, "I can't argue with success, but I don't care so much about success as I do originality." So basically, she thought that it was derivative of her version.
I mean, okay.
I
mean,
I haven't seen the Streisand version. Have you?
You
seen,
haven't.
Did you? You finally saw Gaga Cooper version, right? Still no. Okay, well, it's going to be really hard for you and I to, like, know, since neither of us has seen the one that she's comparing it to. That's hilarious.
Well, I mean, I just from what I know.
No, just, like, on the surface, you see that it's, like, a, you know, maybe a country folky singer-songwriter vibe with both her and Lady Gaga's characters, and with Bradley Cooper and Kris Kristofferson, both the, like, grizzled singer-songwriter guitar player guy. Having seen the new one, I feel like, you know, there's a very, like, pop star direction that the character takes that I can't imagine in 1976 was the direction. I mean, we're talking about, like, you know, bubblegum pop, like...
Right. I think maybe what Streisand is saying is that, you know, when they did it in the 70s, it was a quite different take than the Judy Garland version, which was about, like, film actors.
Both of them were about actors and actresses, the original ones.
Right. The original was just a drama. There was It wasn't a musical. And then the next one became a musical. And then Streisand took it in more of, like, a rock star direction. Mm-hmm. Which makes sense. And I'm sure she's probably thinking, and she is completely, she can have her own viewpoint on this.
And
she's
probably, will.
She's like, I thought it was going to go in more of an R&B hip hop direction, which would retain the idea of the whole conceit of A Star Is Born.
Yeah.
And just take it into a new musical direction, as opposed to perhaps what she felt was staying a little bit too close to what she already did. I mean, I'm sure her and Gaga are still friends, and, you know, I would hope this isn't going to ruffle anyone's feathers.
Yeah, I mean, I think people should be surprised if Barbara does not share her strong opinion. Like, that would be the surprising thing. I also thought, why did it take 3 years, actually, to get this opinion? Because she has to have been asked about it in the last 3 years, you would think.
I mean, maybe she said this before and we're just focused on it now because she happens to be doing press.
Yeah, maybe so. But anyway, it was fascinating, as everything that she says is. Now I'll go watch her version and Keith is assigned to watch the new version. And finally, Warner Music Group has announced a global partnership with Madonna that encompasses a new agreement for her entire recorded music catalog. The deal that has Madonna returning to her previous longtime label home includes her Sire, Maverick, Warner catalog, plus her three most recent studio albums, MDNA, Rebel Heart, and Madam X, which were all released by Interscope Records, but they will now join the Warner catalog in 2025. Madonna exited Interscope last year, and Warner says its new agreement with Madonna covers 17 studio albums, as well as singles, soundtrack recordings, live albums, and compilations. Okay. So, Keith, let's talk this out. For the uninitiated, like, what does this mean? What does this mean to you as a Madonna fan?
Well, one, I want to say that I don't think it's ever confirmed that she exited Interscope. I believe Madam X was her final album in a 3-album deal with Interscope.
Okay.
So, I mean, is it likely that she would go back to Interscope? I don't know. Probably not.
So 2020 might be a... Like, that's probably not the right way to say it then, since Madam X came out the year prior, right?
Yeah, but we don't... I mean, did we report that?
That's what's in our article.
Well, then I'm going to go with it. I'm going to go with whoever reported that. So the way to read this, when I saw the press release, it was carefully written to be specifically focused on her catalog, meaning all of her previously released music. Basically all of her music, except for those 3 albums and maybe like a live album or two from those tours, were all with Warner already. And they continue to own all of her master recordings and all of her music. So when she left and went to Interscope a number of years ago, she didn't take anything with her. Like, you know, so I'm thinking that this is kind of... partially maybe ignited by the fact that she's currently working on a biopic, a big screen biopic about her life. And she has already said in numerous Instagram videos and posts how it would cover many, many highlights of her professional career that will involve music. So certainly there would have to be permissions given by her old Warner Music Group home to license out all that music to be used in a film. So this is, I would imagine
it's like
that maybe
simplifying that process because it's making sure all of the music is all in the same home and signed out to the same deal for the movie. I like that theory.
Right. And she probably, I think she owns her Interscope recordings and they were basically just licensed out to Interscope. Mm. And that just means that in 2025, you know, maybe the ownership reverts back to her and she brings them over to Warner to let them do what they want, you know, within reason with them. I mean, to me, the big takeaway here is that Warner and Madonna are going to start doing deluxe reissues of her catalog, her old albums, that will be personally curated, says the press release, by Madonna. This is something that she hasn't done. Unlike many other artists, such as Prince and Guns N' Roses and a whole, you know, all sorts of artists from the 80s, they've yet, like Madonna's yet to kind of properly do that in like a super deluxe thing with a bunch of unreleased songs and songs from the vault. So maybe she will do that.
That's a thrilling prospect.
Yeah, like what does she have in her vault? What is sitting there collecting dust that we haven't heard yet? What about all those classic remixes that we haven't, you know, gotten, you know, put out on vinyl or what, it, you know, all these things that could
possibly happen. Flexi
discs. So to me, that's the exciting stuff. Like what was left out from this whole thing was anything about future recorded music.
Right. Which I'm sure is a lot of people's first question. Like
so where's your next album going to be?
Yeah.
Will it be with Warner?
It might not even be part of this, right? I mean, that's why they're not talking about it yet. We don't know.
It may not be, but if you're going to work so closely with Warner, says this press release, on these reissues, and she's also been, frankly, quite reluctant to revisit her past in such reissue form, then either you've had an incredible change of heart, or you've had an incredible change of heart and they're also giving you a lot of money, which is probably the
case. Incredible change of heart prompted by money.
True. and perhaps this is also part of another chunk of the deal that just hasn't been announced yet, which is maybe you are returning to Warner Records to release your next album.
Another thing that I thought of, because when I think of Warner now, I think of Dua Lipa, who obviously kind of got Warner back into the pop game a little bit, you know, recently. And of course, Madonna and Dua have worked together before on the Future Nostalgia remix album.
Madonna Dua Lipa duets album.
Yeah, like that's what I'm saying. Like, let's get some. I mean, we just heard a Dua Lipa Elton John song for the first time last week. Let's get the Madonna Dua Lipa like joint. Remix, duets.
Something beyond the levitating remix that Madonna did that most people are not familiar with. So
it played at a wedding I was at this weekend.
Really?
I almost wondered if it was by mistake.
The Madonna version?
Uh-huh. And
that,
like, you know how people are trying...
God love you, Madonna, but that had to be a mistake.
People are trying to sing along to the, like, yeah, 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 yeah part. And you know that in that version, it changed to, yeah, 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 and, like, Madonna singing it. And I was just, like, looking around at a confused face.
You're the only person in the crowd that's just, like, you
knew what
was going on.
And I'm like, guys, it's the Blessed Madonna remix, obviously.
It's the Blessed Madonna remix featuring Madonna and Missy Elliott.
Obviously.
When Missy comes in for the bridge, everyone is just like, what song is this?
This isn't DaBaby.
Maybe they didn't want to play the DaBaby version at the wedding.
Maybe that's it. They're like, ooh, I could skip the DaBaby version and do this Madonna and Missy Elliott one instead. Oh,
wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, so, I mean, this is exciting. Like, it'll be exciting to see what happens. And I know I've got my money ready.
I know you do. Yeah, we'll be paying attention and we'll let you know if and when that we learn about that new music aspect of it.
And now it's time for the chart stat of the week. I want to say that I've left this blank on the script on purpose.
I noticed that.
Because it's Quiz Katie time.
Instead of TK for to come, it should say QK.
Oh,
Quiz Katie.
Well, Katie, 20 years ago, on the August 18th, 2001, dated Billboard 200 chart,
okay,
an album debuted at number one.
Okay.
It's one of the biggest albums of 2001, so big that it went on to sell nearly 3 million copies in the U.S. alone that year. making it one of the top 15 biggest selling albums of 2001. Katie, can you name the album? And if you can't, I will give you a series of clues that might help you.
Well, my first guess, but I think it's too early, is NSYNC Celebrity.
I think
it was July. I think that was July.
No, but I will tell you that it actually bumped NSYNC Celebrity from number one, and it spent 3 weeks at number one. Let me know if you want another hint.
I would like a hint. I would like a hint.
It sold 621,000 copies in its first week in the U.S., one of the biggest sales weeks of that year.
This is a very big album. I need another hint.
The album is
No. I got excited. Okay. No.
All right. The album is no longer in print, and you can't find it on any digital retailers or streamers.
What? That's a crazy hint. Really?
Really?
Is it like one of those Now That's What I Call Music albums?
It is.
It
now
is?
Now That's What I Call Music 7.
Yes. Wow. Okay, so talk to me about like what songs were on this Now compilation.
So it's the Now That's What I Call Music Volume 7 compilation featuring 19 of the biggest pop hits of the day, including Britney Spears' Don't Let Me Be the Last to Know, Backstreet Boys' The Call, NSYNC's This I Promise You, Destiny's Child Survivor, Janet Jackson's All For You, and so on.
Any of our young listeners have no idea like how this is humanly possible. These numbers based on like a compilation album, it's like, why don't you just listen to a Spotify playlist?
Well, here's the thing. Spotify didn't exist in 2001.
That's correct.
These were a phenomenon back in sort of the late 90s and on through most of the 2000s. Back when streaming didn't exist, Apple Music didn't exist, Spotify didn't exist, YouTube didn't exist. And in fact, you couldn't buy digital songs as individual recordings because iTunes Store didn't exist until 2003.
You couldn't buy them.
People may have illegally downloaded them from such services as a Napster.
But a lot of people hadn't quite figured all that out yet.
No.
How to burn a CD and all that sort of thing.
If you weren't like a wired kid in college or high school, you probably and like had like broadband and like a good connection, you probably didn't know how to do this.
What a time to get college Ethernet, you guys. It was incredible.
Sounds like Katie's revealing that she may have obtained some music.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, there was a kid. No one needs this story, but I'm telling it anyway. There was a kid when I was a senior in high school. So that was 99 in the 2000 who had a binder printed out like a karaoke book, you know, and it was, you know, artist first, song second. And you like could order a burnt CD with him. And you would go, you would pick your, like, you know, he'd be like, pick like 18 songs, but some songs are longer, so they might not fit or whatever. And he would bring you back your burned personal, like, mixtape.
And you know where he is now? He's now in charge of programming playlists at Spotify.
Right. Yeah, I have a feeling that it's not where he is.
Wow.
But who knows?
That's amazing. Well, So the Now That's What I Call Music compilations were a phenomenon that started in the UK in the early 80s. Mm. They eventually came to America in 1998 with the first Now That's What I Call Music compilation. And they continued to be a huge thing for a very long time on the charts and also in general with the public.
You could not miss their commercials. They were
Now That's What I Call Music.
Especially if you were a TRL viewer, all over TRL.
Literally, Katie has a few of these Now That's What I Call Music compilations.
I did not own them. Yeah, I never bought one. Not a one. But you know what? I had the kid with the binder.
You had your own Now That's What I Call binder.
Right.
How many of the Now That's What I Call Music albums went to number one, Katie?
Oh, wow. That's a fun question.
I'm part two.
Stunned by the numbers that you just told me. 632 in its first week. Insane. Completely insane. I'm going to just guess 5. That seems
18.
Like a lot. 18 went to number one.
18.
Whoa. Mind blowing.
Yeah. Well, though the Now compilations are still being made and still charting, they aren't charting as well as they used to. This week, in fact, the latest in the series, Now That's What I Call Music, Volume 79.
Oh, dang.
Debuts at number 187 on the Billboard 200 with about 7,000 copies sold.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you know what songs are on it?
give me a second.
That's what I call music 79. Okay, I think I got it. Oh, we've got Billie Eilish, Your Power, Masked Wolf, Astronaut in the Ocean, Doja Cat and SZA, Kiss Me More, Peaches, Justin Bieber, POV, Ariana Grande, Telepatia by Kaliuchis. We have Olivia Rodrigo, Deja Vu. Wow. There you go. That's a pretty good snapshot of 2021.
Deja Vu, but no good for you?
Huh? They chose Deja Vu.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. 20 years ago this week. Now was the time on the Billboard 200 chart as Now 7 debuted atop the list. We've reached the end of our big shoe. Any parting words, Katie?
Oh, what a... I feel like we've had a lot of good nostalgia trips lately. You're hitting my sweet spot, 99 to 2000, 2001. That's what I like to reminisce on, apparently.
Should we go out on another song from Now 7?
100%, yes.
How about All For You by Janet Jackson?
Done.
See you guys next time.
Bye.